When was the last time you took an Amtrak train? Well, perhaps more recently if you live in the busy Northeast Corridor between Washington, D.C. and Boston, the only profitable route that Amtrak offers. Amtrak has been around since 1971 when a mishmash of passenger railroads were consolidated by order of Congress. It gets about $1 billion a year in government funding. Joseph Boardman has been president and CEO of Amtrak since 2008. He joins us now for this week's View from the Top, part of our regular series of conversations with leaders. Joseph Boardman, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad to be here.
And by the way, that's a very long time to be in charge in Washington now, 7 years.
Well, at Amtrak it is. I'm the second longest term CEO in Amtrak's 42-year-old history.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's a tough job, I guess, for one thing, as there's you've got a board of directors here right at Amtrak, but then you got 535 additional directors over on the Hill. And there's been a lot of turmoil at Amtrak in the past.
But you've been able to keep them all happy, all those people.
Oh, I don't get them all happy, Jeremy. You know that.
Well, and we should say you're a Republican also, and you've been serving under President Obama, obviously.
Yes, but I've always seen this as a not a political job. I mean, transportation is not political. It's people use it. It really is about the people. Whether it's highways or whether it's airways or whether it's railroads, it's moving people. And you really don't care what their political aspiration is.
Well, I want to ask you about safety at Amtrak because, of course, 8 people were killed in that train derailment in Philadelphia last May. The train was traveling too fast on curved tracks at the time. There was a computerized speed regulating system called positive train control that, if it had been in effect, would have prevented that accident. What's the status right now of getting that system and something called automatic train control in place across the network?
Positive train control on that section is in place now, as promised. It was done before the end of 2015, so before the end of last month it was done. It was a real tragedy. There's no question about that. You have to exercise extraordinary care, not just normal care. You know, over 30,000 people are killed on the highways every year in this country, and we had a very serious tragedy. But railroads and Amtrak, passenger rail, is very safe, Jeremy.
You think we're making too much of that accident?
You never make too much of loss of life. What I'm telling you is that we have a safe railroad.
But that positive train control, which you say is in place there in that section where the accident happened, is not in place across the entire Northeast Corridor at this point, right?
It is in place across the entire Northeast Corridor. That was what I was trying to tell you.
I read that there are sections, especially near stations and in parts of the railroad that are owned by Metro North and other entities where that is not yet in place.
Well, that's true. The Northeast Corridor that Amtrak operates owns is in place. There are some small sections where the commuter railroads and others have to do that work yet.
Well, and how do you deal with that? Because, of course, you don't own all of the tracks.
Well, because it was still safe, Jeremy. I mean, what we're really doing here is making a much safer railroad. But the safety exists, whether it's with Metro North or whether it's with Long Island Railroad or Amtrak. And I think that's important for people to understand.
What is the status of infrastructure from your standpoint right now for Amtrak?
Well, I think what you can look at, if you're just looking at the Northeast Corridor and if you're really just thinking about the infrastructure, it's getting to be 100 years old, whether it's tunnels or whether it's some of our bridges. And we have a new funding bill. We're seeing very positive opportunities to make real improvement and real investment for the future in the specific infrastructure of the Northeast Corridor.
What do you see for the future of Amtrak? What do you want it to be?
Well, it's what the customer wants it to be. And what I see for the future of Amtrak is a much more robust national network system. That's where Amtrak really started. It started because back in 1971, the freight railroads, which were just plain railroads at that time, by the way, they had traffic, they had freight traffic, and they had passenger traffic. At that point in time, they weren't making any money on passenger rail. We're not making money on passenger rail today either. And so that's a common issue around the world. And so I could think of myself as the mayor of Amtrak. The mayor of Amtrak of a pretty big city every day with 84 or 85,000 people in the city. And we're moving that many people every day across this country and up and down the corridor. And we have to do that and provide food. We have to do that and provide drinking water, sewage, police service. We are a very different railroad than anybody else you could really think of. And the communities along where we operate really depend on us. They see it as absolutely necessary across the country. And that's something that Amtrak is going to continue to do for the future.
But what about the people who look at the system and say what we really need are a series of very high-speed links between cities like Boston and Washington? We're talking 3 hours instead of whatever it is right now, more than twice that much, or from Chicago to St. Louis or from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And I know that they are in the process of building a rail link between those cities, a high-speed rail link. But what about that? When are we going to get to that point, or are we going to get to that point and have real high-speed links around this country?
What do you call real high-speed, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, what if you could get from Chicago to St. Louis in 2 hours?
So you're not talking about speed at all. You're talking about time. And
okay.
I think that's important. And because when you do ask that question, what you get is people want to be able to depend on time and that we get there on time, whatever time we say it's going to be. That's been a difficulty, especially in this last couple of years when we've had an increase in freight traffic, keeping trains on time. Between Washington and New York, we now carry three times the number of passengers that air service carries in that same market. We put a vision out there a few years ago, 2010, that said we could build this 186 to 220 mile an hour service along the Northeast Corridor for $151 billion was the budget number at that point in time, because the population base was there to support that. If you go beyond that, and even if you do that, you need government to decide they want to do that. And we don't have a culture here that has decided it wants high-speed service.
So at this point, the only people who really ought to have true high-speed service, you're saying, are the population centers that have enough people like Washington to New York or New York to Boston. Do you think that we'll ever be a country, though, that has that will from coast to coast?
I think that people in this country understand that when you have an area like the Northeast Corridor, there is a much better opportunity to find the resources from fares after you built it to keep it going.
Now you, this is interesting, ride by rail everywhere you go. Is that right?
Just about. Yeah.
Wow. So you must have had some interesting trips across the country.
Well, I think I've logged over 500,000 miles on the rail since I've been here in this job.
And
I think that really shows me what's going on out on the railroad.
And what's your favorite mile of all those miles you've traveled?
Oh, they're all favorite. I'm not going to pick a favorite.
Come on.
It's like having a child here, Jeremy. Come on.
You don't have one place where you just like, I can't wait till the train gets here so I can
see
this view or something like that?
Well, that's true. I live in Rome, New York, so the Lakeshore Limited when it gets to Rome, New York. I like that.
Well, you know, and I will say, going back to my very first Amtrak ride, I grew up in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. We used to take the train up to Chicago, and occasionally it would be the City of New Orleans train, and we would know, of course, immediately because all of the conductors had these thick New Orleans accents telling
right.
us that we're going to be in Chicago in a couple hours.
Yep. New Orleans.
Yep. That's right. Well, you're going to be leaving in September. What is your advice to the next CEO of Amtrak?
Amtrak is changing a bit, especially in terms of its development and its business acumen. There has to be a CEO that understands that, that sees the kinds of investments that are going to be necessary for the future, the different business models. But that CEO can't forget that the main thing is to keep the main thing, and that is to run these trains safely with good customer service and keep the national network together. It doesn't work any other way. It needs to be connected.
I want to ask you one more question that social media demands that I ask, which is how do you make sure that the quiet car remains actually quiet?
Because I'll tell you, the people on that car police themselves. A quiet car is really policed by the people that ride that car. I've even been thrown out of the quiet car.
Really?
And I think there was a high-profile governor got thrown out of the quiet car here somewhat recently.
It's a presidential candidate, I believe.
Actually. Yes, I think it was. So I had forgotten where I was and was talking too loud, and somebody walked right up to me and said, please leave the car.
And you didn't say, do you have any idea who you're talking to?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Okay. I left the car.
That's Joseph Boardman, the president and CEO of Amtrak. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, Jeremy. Thank you very much.
A little Arlo Guthrie on Here and Now.